Let's turn to John chapter 14. Peace in the midst of troubles. We have been walking with Yeshua through the book of John. We are now at the end of the life of the most important man who ever lived. That man is also the Messiah and the Son of God and the one and only Savior of humanity, who is able to rescue us from the real and deadly forces of Satan and the demons, sin and the sin nature, death and hell, our greatest enemies. It's Yeshua's last day on earth, and it's a very special day. It's the first day of Passover. It's the day that Messiah will die a very special death as God's Passover lamb who takes away the sin of the world. That makes this day one of the most important days in history. Yeshua will eat his final meal, a Passover Seder, with his most important disciples, the men he will entrust with his ongoing mission of world salvation. During the meal, Yeshua will give his disciples his final teachings. During the meal, he will pray. Then he will be arrested, tried, tortured, humiliated, and crucified. The disciples were troubled. Yeshua had told his key followers some very disturbing things, that one of them was a traitor who was about to betray them, that Yeshua was about to leave them and they would not be able to follow him, that Peter would deny him three times before the morning was over. Those were very troubling announcements. Now Yeshua helps them deal with their troubles. John 14, verse 1, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." And that is the theme of this chapter. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Let not your hearts be troubled. There is no way to avoid trouble in this fallen world. Eliphaz expressed this in the book of Job. Man is born to trouble as surely as sparks fly upward. Man is born to trouble. Everyone can expect to have troubles, small troubles, big troubles, troubles of their own making, and troubles caused by others. And following the Messiah in a fallen world that is satanically controlled and is in rebellion against God and is under a curse creates its own set of troubles. Messiah does not promise to immediately eliminate all of the troubles from the lives of his followers. What he does promise is that he will help us so that our hearts, our innermost beings, will not be troubled, so that we can have peace way down deep while we are going through our times of trouble, so that we can endure our trouble with grace and peace. Messiah teaches us quite a few things in this chapter to help us manage our troubles. He starts off by encouraging us to believe in him the very same way we believe in God. You believe in God? Believe also in me. Can you imagine any human being, especially a rabbi who knew the word of God, making a statement like that? You believe in God, believe also in me. It is blasphemous for any human being, especially a rabbi, to tell his disciples that they should believe in him the same way that they believe in God, with the same degree of confidence, the same level of commitment, that he should be the object of their faith in the same way God was the object of their faith. You believe in God, believe also in me. That's blasphemy, unless it's true. Unless that rabbi is the Son of God. And it is true. Yeshua is the Son of God. And we are to have that same kind of faith in him as we have in God the Father. That same kind of trust, that same kind of loyalty and commitment. Yeshua is to be the object of our faith, just like God the Father is. You believe in God, believe also in me. Having faith in Yeshua, knowing who he is, how powerful he is, how committed he is to us, how much he loves us, how close he is to us and we are to him, and how committed he is to us, brings us peace in the midst of our troubles. You believe in God, believe also in me. To help us manage our troubles, Yeshua gives us hope that he has prepared a very special place for us in God's heavenly house. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? Hope enables people to endure their troubles. Having hope that we are going to a better place puts our present trouble into a different perspective. When we know that our troubles are temporary, that God has a great house in heaven with many rooms in it, enough rooms for each and every one of us, and Messiah has gone ahead to prepare a place for us there, that can bring us peace in the present when things are difficult for us. Yeshua promises his disciples that even though he will leave them, he will not abandon them. He will return for them and be reunited to them so that they can be with him. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. Knowing that Yeshua has pledged himself to return for us so that we can be reunited with him and be with him where he will be, in heaven, in the New Jerusalem, in the presence of God, gives us peace now when times may be difficult. To help us manage our troubles, Yeshua informs them that they know their destination and the way to their destination. You know the way to the place where I am going. You know, it can help so much to have a great destination and know the way to that destination. Say you're going through a hard time at work. The boss is really riding you hard. He's making your life miserable. But you know that you have an airline ticket that's already paid for, and you have reservations in a 5-star hotel in Hawaii. And that in just a few weeks, you are leaving on this vacation to a great destination. That knowledge can help you endure your troubles right now and make it through the time until that vacation starts. knowing that we have an amazing destination that we will get to, and knowing the way to get to that great destination can bring us peace even as we are experiencing troubles in the present. One of the disciples was confused. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way?" I like Thomas. He's got to be one of my favorite apostles. I love his honesty. "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Yeshua clarified what he meant. The way to the place where he was going is not reachable using ordinary means of travel. The way to the presence of God in his heavenly house with the accommodations prepared for us comes through a relationship with a person, with Yeshua himself. Yeshua answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." One of the great statements in the Brit Chadashah, the New Covenant Scriptures. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Yeshua is the way. When we are in a relationship with him, he will bring us into the welcoming presence of his Father and our heavenly home. He is the way. He is the truth. He knows the truth. He speaks only the truth. He is the source of truth. He created what we know as reality, truth. When we are in a relationship with Yeshua, we are united to the truth. Our lives are based on what is real and what is true. And Yeshua, who is faithful and true and loves those who are faithful and true, will bring us into the welcoming presence of his Father, who is the true God. He will bring us to our true home. Yeshua is the truth. He is the life. He created life. He gives life. He restores life that was forfeited by the fall. He sustains life. When we are in a relationship with him, he will make sure that we live forever with him and our heavenly Father in our heavenly home. He is the life. How can we have peace in the midst of our troubles? By knowing that Yeshua is the way, the truth, and the life. How can our hearts not be troubled when we are experiencing troubling circumstances? By knowing that Yeshua is the perfect reflection of God the Father. "If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him." Knowledge is power. You've heard that before, right? Knowledge is power. It's true. Knowledge is power. And the knowledge of God is the greatest knowledge of all. When we really know who God is, we will have the power to endure our troubles in the present. When we know that God is real, that he is good, that he will reward us for enduring with grace and patience the troubles he allows into our lives, we can have peace in the midst of our trials. That's why Job could say, "Even if God kills me, I will still trust him." That righteous man knew that God is so good, so wise, so just, that even if he didn't understand why he was suffering, he knew that he could still trust God. Job believed that even if he had to experience death, and God himself was the one who killed him, Job would still trust him. And that gave Job peace. Though he slay me, I will trust him. Knowing God like that brings peace. And knowing Yeshua is the only way to know God. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. To know Yeshua is to know God the Father. To see Yeshua is to see God. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Yeshua is not teaching us that seeing him is the same as literally seeing God the Father. Yeshua is not God the Father. The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Father. The Father and the Son are distinct persons. But the nature of the Son is identical to the nature of the Father. So to see the Messiah, to understand who Yeshua is to see God. Because they are identical in nature. You want to see as much as you can of the invisible God, who is bigger and greater than the universe and everything in it, who is so great and holy that mortals die in his presence? See Yeshua for who he is, and you will see what God the Father is like. And that will bring you peace, even in your times of trouble. Philip did not understand what Yeshua was teaching them. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." The vision of the Father, who is glorious and honorable and majestic and powerful and beautiful and wise and holy, is the greatest vision that any human being can have. Greater than the sight of anything in heaven or on earth. How can that not be? Isn't the Creator greater and more glorious than anything in creation? Or everything in creation? Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. That's the greatest vision of all. And in one sense, Philip was right. It would have been enough for them to see the Father. It's understandable that they would like to see the great Creator God in his glory. The problem is that the Father is so much greater, so much holier than human beings, that it's impossible for a mortal to see God as he really is. It's like an ant trying to see the Empire State Building from the bottom of it. It's impossible for the little ant to see that great building. And the difference between us, who are finite creatures, and the Creator, who is infinite, is greater than the difference between the ant and the Empire State Building. And even if a fallen mortal could actually see the great Creator face to face and get close to his living presence, he would not survive that encounter. The Word of God is clear that no man can see God and live. When he came among us, the Messiah did many things for us. He gave us the greatest teachings. He died on the cross to atone for us, which was our greatest need. One of the most important things he did for us is enable us to see as much of God as we are capable of seeing, so that we can know God to the maximum extent possible. Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Yeshua expressed surprise that Philip, who had been with him for several years, who had heard Yeshua's great teachings, heard his profound wisdom, witnessed his unparalleled miracles, which were unprecedented in number and in greatness, still did not understand who he is. Yeshua answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time?" Then Yeshua repeated what he had previously claimed. "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" That is an absolutely astounding assertion for any human being to make. Anyone making that claim would be blaspheming. Anyone, that is, except Messiah Yeshua. "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." Yeshua challenged Philip to believe his claim to be the visible manifestation of the invisible God. And he challenged him to believe in the inseparable closeness between Father and Son. "Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me?" "I'm in the Father, the Father is in me." Father and Son, two distinct persons, yet so close, so inseparable, so much sharing of the same nature and the same spirit that it's like the first being in the second and the second being in the first. "Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me?" Yeshua challenged Philip to believe everything he was telling him. "The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work." Since God the Father is so close to Yeshua and living in Yeshua by means of the Spirit that the Father and the Son share, all of Yeshua's words, every one of his words, came from God. Since the Father was living and active and working in Yeshua, Yeshua said everything God wanted him to say perfectly, truly, accurately, faithfully. Yeshua's words were divinely inspired and accurate and true and authoritative and were to be believed. All of his teachings, all of his amazing claims about himself, all of his words came from God, were authorized by God, who was living and active in Yeshua. Yeshua repeats his teaching that it's crucial for his followers to believe that there is an inseparable closeness between him and God. "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me." Knowing that Yeshua is so close to God the Father, so inseparable from God the Father, who is so great and so powerful, and that Yeshua loves us so much and is so committed to us and wants to help us and save us, that brings us peace in our times of trouble. God was speaking through Yeshua unlike he had spoken through anyone else. God was working through Yeshua unlike he had worked through anyone else. No prophet had a relationship to God like Yeshua did. No prophet was as close to God as Yeshua was. No prophet lived a holy life like Yeshua did. No prophet had the wisdom Yeshua had. No prophet spoke the kinds of words Yeshua spoke. No prophet did the miracles Yeshua did. Normally, God does not allow ordinary human beings to do miracles. Only special people, people who are close to God, approved by God, The disciples should believe everything Yeshua was telling them because of the evidence of his miracles, which were unprecedented in number and in greatness. If they were having a hard time believing anything Yeshua was teaching them, he reminded them that there was evidence why they should believe him. At least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Often when a great man dies, his life's work collapses. His children will run his business into the ground. Something will happen and his life's work falls apart. Not so with the greatest man who ever lived. His life's work would not fail with his death. Yeshua wanted his disciples to know that his life's work would continue. Not only continue, it would increase, it would expand, but through them. His mission would continue through them, and it would be amazingly successful. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Yeshua was not telling his disciples that every individual Christian and Messianic Jew will do greater miracles than he did. No one ever has. No, he was telling them that even though he was about to die, he will be raised from the dead. He will ascend into the presence of God. From there, his mission of world redemption will continue, expand, increase, be successful through his followers. His disciples will advance the kingdom of God far beyond the borders of the lost sheep of the house of Israel, where Yeshua's ministry was limited to. In that sense, they will do greater works than he did. They will bring his message of salvation far beyond the borders of the land of Israel. Many human beings are willing to suffer, even give their lives for something greater than they are. Knowing that Yeshua's ministry of world redemption will not end with his death, but will continue, succeed, expand through us, no matter what happens to us as individuals, that can give us peace in our times of trouble. Yeshua's mission to save human beings will continue through his followers because he is able to hear and answer their prayers and give them the help they need. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Yeshua is able to do whatever we ask, as long as what we ask him is in his name, which means that it is something he agrees with, something he approves of, something that is in his will. So, it behooves us to know those things that he agrees with and approves of and are part of his will. With that in mind, I want to give you a little quiz. Here are some prayers which are in Yeshua's name, and some prayers which I think are not in Yeshua's name. You tell me which is which. Lord, help me to be more like you, think like you, value what you value, dislike what you dislike. Would you say that is a prayer in Yeshua's name? Yes. Lord, help me to be holy. Help me to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Help me to endure my trials with grace. Bless me with continual healing so that I die at 100 years of age in perfect health, having had no physical problems. No, that is not a prayer. In Yeshua's name. Lord, help me to love you and your Father and serve you and your Father. Help me to live for you, not myself, to live for you, not for the world. Lord, help all of your sons and daughters to be full of your Spirit, fearless, bold, great proclaimers of your good news. Give me this day my daily bread. Lord, help me to make a lot more money. Bless me with prosperity so that I can live a better life. I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. God does not like it at all when human beings pray to anyone other than him. He does not like it when we pray to another god or to idols or to Mary or to saints or angels. That does not honor him. It dishonors him. However, God the Father is not jealous of our prayers offered to the Messiah, or Messiah's ability to hear and answer our prayers. Quite the opposite. Prayers directed to Yeshua, honor the Father who has ordained this ministry of prayer to the Son. I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. While it is proper to pray to the Son, it's worth mentioning that almost all the prayers in the New Testament are directed not to the Son, but to the Father. Even after Messiah's resurrection, almost all of the prayers written down for us in the New Testament are directed to the Father, not the Son. And that is our custom here at Congregation Shema Yisrael. Knowing that Yeshua had been raised from the dead and is alive now and is at the right hand of God the Father, that Yeshua is Lord of heaven and earth, that he loved us so much he was willing to die for us, that he is united to us and we are united to him, that he wants us to succeed, that he is helping us succeed, he's able to hear and answer our prayers that are prayed in his name, should bring us peace in our times of greatest trouble. Does that make sense? Yeshua will give his disciples other reasons why their hearts need not be troubled, even when they're experiencing trouble. For that, you will have to come back, Lord willing, next Shabbat. Let's pray.